Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We're going to be beginning a new course. This is Old Testament Survey. You've probably already heard the introduction. And now we're going to deal with chapter number one, which is Introducing the Bible. So the objectives for this particular chapter are going to be that you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to define the word Bible. You'll be able to define the word Scripture. You're going to be able to explain the origin of the Bible. You'll be able to identify the major purposes of the Bible. You're going to be able to identify the Old and New Testaments as major divisions of the Bible. You're going to be able to name the four divisions of the Old Testament books, name the four divisions of the New Testament books. You'll be able to explain what it is meant by the unity and diversity of the Bible and identify the key person upon whom the revelation of both testaments center. So our key verse today is found in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this chapter that we're dealing with today introduces the Bible, which is the written word of the one true God. The word Bible means the books, and the Bible is one volume which consists of 66 separate books. And the word Scripture is also used to refer to God's word. This word comes from a Latin word which means writing. When the word Scripture is used with the capital S, it means the sacred writings of the one true God. The word Bible is not used in the Bible. It is a word selected by men as a title for all of God's words. So the Bible is the written word of God, and he inspired the words in the Bible and used approximately 40 different men to write down his words. These men wrote over a period of about 1,500 years. The perfect agreement of these writers is one proof that they were all guided by a single author, and that author was God. Now, some of the writers wrote down exactly what God said. We find that in Jeremiah 36:2. It said, "Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel." Other writers, on the other hand, wrote what they experienced or what God revealed concerning the future. In Revelations 1:19, it says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and things which are, and which things which shall be hereafter." And that's Revelation 1:19. All the writers wrote under God's inspiration the words of his message for us. Now, the Bible itself records its main purpose. We find that in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now the Scriptures are to be used to teach doctrine, to reprove and correct from evil, and to teach righteousness. And they will help you to live right and to equip you for the work of God. There are major divisions in the Bible. So the Bible is divided into two major sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now the word testament means covenant. A covenant is an agreement. The Old Testament records God's original covenant or agreement with man, and the New Testament records the new covenant made by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what was the subject of these two agreements? They both concerned restoring sinful man to right relationship with God, and God made a law that sin can only be forgiven through the shedding of blood. We find that in Hebrews 9:22. It says, "Without the shedding of blood, is no remission or forgiveness." So under God's agreement in the Old Testament, blood sacrifices of animals were made by men to obtain forgiveness for sin. And this was a symbol of the blood sacrifice Jesus Christ would provide under the new agreement with God through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. A final sacrifice for sin was made. And we find in Hebrews 9:11-15, it says this, "For Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption, the transgressions there were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So both testaments of the Word of God are in the Word of God, and we must study both in order to understand God's message. The term Old and New Testaments are used to distinguish between God's agreement with man before and after the death of Jesus Christ. We do not disregard the Old Testament simply because it's called Old. Now there's also further divisions. The Bible is divided into 66 books. The Old Testament has 39 books, and the New Testament contains 27 books. Each book is divided into chapters and verses, and although the content of each book is the Word of God, the division into chapters and verses was made by man to make it easy to locate specific passages. It would be very difficult to find a passage if the books were all one long paragraph. So here's a simple diagram in your book that shows the major or the basic divisions of the Bible. So first off, we have the Bible. We have Old Testament, which is 39 books. And on the right-hand side, we have the New Testament, which is 27 books. Now, there is a unity of the Bible. So when we speak of the unity of the Bible, we mean two things. What we mean is, one, that the Bible is united in content. So even though the Bible is written by many writers over many years, there are no contradictions. One author does not contradict any of the others. The Bible includes discussion of hundreds of controversial subjects. A controversial subject is one that creates different opinions when mentioned, yet the writers of the Bible spoke of each subject with harmony from the first book of Genesis through the last book of Revelation. This was possible because there was really only one author, God. And the writers only recorded the message under his direction and inspiration. For this reason, the content of the Bible is united. And point number two is that the Bible is united in theme. So some people think that the Bible is a collection of 66 separate books on different subjects, but they do not realize that the Bible is united by a major theme. From the beginning to the end, the Bible reveals God's special purpose, which is summarized in the book of Ephesians. We find that in Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So the Bible reveals that the mystery of God's plan, which is the unifying theme of the Bible, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful mankind. And Jesus explained how the Old Testament centered on him. We find that in Luke 24:44. And it says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So with this introduction, Jesus continued, and he said that he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. So what was the key that Jesus gave them to understand the Scriptures? It's the fact that its major theme was focused on him. We find in Luke 24:46-48, it says, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." So the Old and New Testaments both tell the story of Jesus, and the Old Testament prepares us for its happening, and the New Testament tells how it happened. This unites the Bible in one major theme. Now, the people who looked forward to Jesus under the Old Testament were saved from their sins through faith in God's promise, and everyone looks back to it as having been fulfilled, and Jesus Christ is saved in the same way, through faith that it happened just as God had promised. Now, there is a diversity of the Bible, so when we speak of diversity of the Bible, we mean that the Bible has variety. It records different ways in which God dealt with people and different ways in which they responded to Him. Now, the Bible is written in different moods, so some portions express joy while others reflect sorrow. The Bible includes different types of writing. It contains history, poetry, prophecy, letters, adventure, parables, miracles, and love stories. And because of its variety, the Bible has been further divided into major groups of books. So we have the Old Testament divisions. The books of the Old Testament are divided into four major groups, which are law, history, poetry, and prophecy. And the books of the law, these are the five books of the law, which the names are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books record the creation of man and the world by God and the early history of man. And they tell how God raised up the nation of Israel as a people through which he could reveal himself to the nations of the world. These books record the laws of God. The best known parts are the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus 20:3-17, the greatest of all commandments, which is Deuteronomy 6:5, and the second greatest commandment, Leviticus 19:18. So if you open your Bible and locate the books of the law in the Old Testament, locate these three verses mentioned in the preceding paragraphs and read them. They're an example of the laws as God recorded them in these books. The next books are the books of history. So there are 12 books of history in the Old Testament. The names of the book of history are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So if you locate these books in your Bible, they are found right after the books of the law. The books of history cover 1,000 years of history of God's people, Israel, and naturally do not tell everything that happened, but they record the major events and show the results of both following and ignoring God's law. Then we have the books of poetry. So there are 5 books of poetry. The names of the books of poetry are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So these books are the worship books of God's people, Israel. They're still used in worship by believers today. So if you turn to Psalms 23 and read it, this is an example of the beautiful worship poetry contained in these books. And then we have the books of prophecy. The books of prophecy in the Old Testament are divided into 2 major groups, which are called major and minor prophetical books. This does not mean that major prophets are more important than minor prophets. The title is simply used because the major prophets are longer books than the minor prophets. There are 17 books of prophecy in the Old Testament, and the names of the books of prophecy are, the major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then the minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These books are prophetic messages from God to his people about future events, and many of the prophecies have already been fulfilled, but some remain to be fulfilled in the future. So you can find these prophetic books in your Bible. They're the last books of the Old Testament. So then we have also the New Testament divisions. The New Testament has also been divided into 4 groups. We have the Gospels, history, letters, and prophecy. So the Gospels, there are 4 books of the Gospels. The names of those books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these books tell about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And their purpose is to lead you to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Find the Gospels in your Bible and then read John 20:31, which states this purpose. Then we have the books of history, the book of history. So there's only 1 book of history in the New Testament, and that's the book of Acts. This book tells how the church began and fulfilled Christ's commission to spread the gospel throughout the world. So you can locate this book in your Bible. Then we have the letters. These are the 21 letters in the New Testament. The names of these letters are Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. The letters are addressed to all believers. Their purpose is to guide them in living and to help them do what Jesus commanded, and Romans 12 is a good example of their teaching. So if you turn to this chapter in your Bible and read it, the letters are also sometimes called epistles, which means letters. And then we have prophecy. Revelation is the only book of prophecy in the New Testament, and it tells the final victory of Jesus and his people, and its purpose is to encourage you to keep living as a Christian should live until the time of the end. So its message is summarized in Revelation 2:10. So that concludes lesson number one. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and return with me for lesson number two.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.